Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Evanston. This Sunday's sermon was given by Associate Pastor Henry Coates. If you'd like more information about First Presbyterian Church of Evanston, please visit firstpresevanston.org.
Our scripture reading today is Psalm 136, which you'll find in the Old Testament section of the Red Bible in the pew in front of you on page 587. This will be a responsive reading, and so I will read a phrase, and then you will follow with, "For his steadfast love endures forever." Please join me in a prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. For your steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who alone does great wonders.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who by understanding made the heavens.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth on the waters. Who made the great lights?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The moon and stars to rule over the night?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who struck Egypt through their firstborn?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them? With a strong hand and an outstretched arm.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who divided the Red Sea in two.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And made Israel pass through the midst of it.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. Who led his people through the wilderness.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who struck down great kings.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And killed famous kings.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land as a heritage.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
A heritage to his servant Israel.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
It is he who remembered us in our low estate.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And rescued us from our foes.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Winter is coming. Now, it's not just a tagline from an insanely popular HBO show, Game of Thrones. It's a phrase that I've been hearing repeatedly these past couple weeks from either well-meaning or deeply resigned people who have spent several winters here in the greater Chicagoland area. I was walking down Chicago Avenue the other day on my way back home from church, and I was shivering because this North Carolina transplant doesn't have the best cold weather gear, and a guy just looked at me and yelled, "Better get ready, buddy, winter's coming." Now, I thanked him, but I had a mean look on my face. And I kept walking because I was cold. Now look, I know how seasons work. There are four of them, and one follows the other. I'd have preferred a bit longer of an autumn, but here we are. What gets me is when people say to me, yeah, winter can be really bad, but you're going to be real grateful for spring and summer, won't you? Well, yes. Winter can make one long for and be grateful for spring when it arrives, but you still got to go through winter, am I right? You're going to get cold. It's going to get darker before it gets brighter. Now is the winter of our discontent. Now, call me a grumpy Gus all you want, but hear me out. I appreciate that some people remind me to be grateful for what is to come, but that can be hard in the moment. Can it? Every year around Thanksgiving time, we get all sort of platitudes and well-meaning moralizing telling us to be thankful, to count our blessings. And yeah, that's generally a good thing. But it can feel really insincere to some, especially around the holidays. The holidays aren't always easy. The death of a loved one, the loss of a treasured relationship, the breakup of your family, or the difficulty of starting a family. Financial stress and so many shattered dreams make the period from Thanksgiving to Christmas for lots of people a hard time rather than a grateful one. I know that's the case for many people here this morning, and that's okay. I don't want to preach platitudes at you. I want to share the gospel with you. And so when you know that winter is coming, when now is the winter of your discontent, hold on to this truth. God's love, Jesus Christ, his love endures forever. And here's the truth. We are grateful because God is dependable. Now, Thanksgiving is about gratitude, which is a disposition, a virtue, and a way of thinking all at once. We often trivialize gratitude as little more than a passing feeling that gets expressed on greeting cards or in quick thank you notes. We're going to be talking this morning about the discipline of Christian gratitude, not gratitude in general, but Christian gratitude. When I talk about discipline in this context, I understand discipline to be training expected to produce a specific character or pattern of behavior. Henry Nouwen, the Dutch Catholic writer, once observed that Christian gratitude goes beyond the mine and thine and claims the truth that all life is pure gift. Nouwen continues by observing that in the past, he always thought of gratitude as a spontaneous response to the awareness of gifts received. But now he realized that gratitude can also be lived as a discipline. The discipline of gratitude is the explicit effort to acknowledge that all I am and have is given to me as a gift of love, a gift to be celebrated with joy. This gift of love, for which Christians are grateful, it comes from God. This gift of God is Jesus. Jesus offers life and life abundant. His love endures forever. The thinking goes, the least we can do is say thanks. Before we can go in depth on thinking through the discipline of Christian gratitude, we got to define a few things. What do we mean when we say that a Christian is grateful? It's an identity marker. Gratefulness marks us as Christian. A writer whose thinking has had a tremendous influence on me, the anti-Nazi theologian Karl Barth, once wrote that thankfulness is the first, not merely the last, word in the Christian life. To be sanctified, good, to be Christian means to be thankful. Knowing that we are saved, knowing that we have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, crucified and raised so that we can thrive as children of God, our response can only be thank you. This type of gratitude, which comes from an awareness of who God is for us and how God's love endures forever, this gratitude isn't merely a quality of our life. It's the very essence of who we are. Because of who he is, we are who we are, thankful, sinners saved by his grace. As Bart noted, grace and gratitude belong together like heaven and earth. Grace evokes gratitude like the voice of an echo. Gratitude follows grace like thunder, lightning. Christians are grateful people. This doesn't mean that you're happy all the time. No, gratitude doesn't equate with happiness. Unhappiness or discontent, that doesn't mean that you are ungrateful. When you are angry, bummed out, when you want to say that you are simply done with God, that doesn't mean that you are ungrateful or that you're sinning. It can actually be a sign of faithfulness if you're open. Open to the suggestion that God is dependably with you throughout it all. Now, this is all well and good, but how does that connect with what I opened this word with the ominous words that winter is coming? Well, we all read through the entirety of Psalm 136, and it's a bit of a rah, 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 shish kum bah psalm. Look at what God has done. Isn't God great? He's done wonderful things. Surely his love endures forever. Yes, it is. Psalm 136 begins its praise of God with an elaboration of the works of creation, the heavens and earth, the sun and the moon and the stars. And without any break or transition, the psalm immediately calls for praise and thanksgiving for the Lord's bringing Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea and the wilderness and into the promised land. The story of creation and redemption, according to Psalm 136, is one story. Psalm 136 celebrates the beauty of creation. It recalls and rejoices in what God has done to save God's people. It's wonderful, it's powerful, and it's beautiful. But I want you to open your Bibles now, if you can, to page 588 in the Red Pew Bible, and or to Psalm 137, verse 1. That's what I want us to look at right now. Psalm 137, verse 1 reads, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion." Now, could you say after that, "His love endures forever"? By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down and wept. This is an expression of someone whose soul is crushed with grief as he or she remembers a lost past. It's something that you could hear someone saying in the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, perhaps. Someone for whom winter has come and they are buried. Psalm 136 is followed directly by Psalm 137. We have a psalm of great praise and a psalm of deep lament following one another. That's no mistake. God uses these texts read together to point out a truth. No matter where you are, no matter what you are going through, no matter what, the truth as revealed by the Bible and in Jesus Christ is that God's love endures forever. God is with you. You can depend upon God and his love. God is faithful, and we are thankful. If my relationship with the living truth of Jesus is initiated and sustained by God's faithfulness and not mine, it is dependable. I can truly rest assured that his love does indeed endure forever. But recognizing this requires me to step back from confidence in my own resources and place my trust in his dependable love. This leads to a kind of gratitude that Christians have. This leads to ways that we can practice the discipline of gratitude. And when we really think about it, this will lead to powerful transformation in how we live our life and think about what it means to be a practicing, faithful Christian today. Now, as part of my job here as pastor, I talk to a lot of people. And a common refrain that I hear among some, especially the young, is a real frustration with Christians in our country. There seems to be a popular sense that to be Christian in America means that you just utter the magic words, "I believe Jesus died for my sin," and boom, that's it. You don't have to change your life. You don't have to speak out against injustice. You don't have to be a good neighbor working for the common good. You don't have to stand up for decency. Nope, you just gotta declare you believe, and that's it. And so I explain to people who raise this concern with me, and they do raise this concern with me. I say that yes, we are saved by grace through faith alone. I generally quote Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works that no one may boast." But I always also quote verse 10, a verse commonly ignored, but central to the idea of the discipline of Christian gratitude. "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." In 2017 and going into the future, the faith that we as Christians proclaim will not need to be a clever system based on formula or propositions or declarations of belief, but the possibility of lived, dependable relationship with God, rooted in thanksgiving, centered in the discipline of gratitude that transforms our lives to be as God created us. For we are what he has made us, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand as our way of life. Remember what Henry Nouwen said, the discipline of gratitude is the explicit effort to acknowledge that all I am and have is given to me as a gift of love, a gift to be celebrated with joy. We express this Christian discipline of gratitude. We express our joy that all that is given to us is a gift by God, whose love dependably endures forever, by being dependable ourselves. That's the mark of the discipline of Christian gratitude, dependability. We need to dependably point quite simply to the dependable God who does not let go, the Christ who does not run away. And here's where the discipline of gratitude kicks in. We ourselves are called to be dependable people. People in dependable relationship with God who are there for those who feel abandoned and those who don't know who and where they are. We show our gratitude to our dependable God whose love endures forever by being dependable people ourselves, by our faithfulness to the lost, the suffering, and the marginal. We begin to show what it is to have faith in the one who doesn't let go, whose love endures. We show our gratitude for God by being like God, by living into the calling on our heart to love Jesus with all we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We are all in this together, all of us, depending on the love of God which endures. And in those times when we are the ones struggling, you can show your gratefulness by accepting support from your fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who are seeking to show you, through their actions, the dependability of God whose love endures. We need to remember what the theologian Reinhold Niebuhr taught us. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we are saved by love. I close with these words from Colossians 3, 15 through 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the discipline of Christian gratitude. His love endures forever. Give thanks and have a blessed Thanksgiving holiday. Amen.